Take our Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you are capable of standing, if you could, in honor of God's Word, we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 11, and then 50 and 51. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 11, the Bible says this. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Sychar, and which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Socoh and Azah in the Ephesus Damin, and Paul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now verses 50 and 51. The Bible says, So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Let's pray. Dear my Father, I pray that your word would work in our lives, and dear my Father, that the Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. And dear my Father, so many needs represented here today. And dear my Father, only you can meet them. Dear my Father, I pray that you just use the word of God and the message for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think if we're all honest with ourselves, no one wants to be a defeated Christian. No one wants to be defeated. No one wants to be destroyed. And the thing about it is many of us are trying to live for the Lord. And you know, the thing about it is, though, is as you talk to people, many Christians feel like failures. And many Christians feel like they are destroyed and rendered useless for God's service. But if a person is living for God and doing the best he can, then he is not a failure. You know, the thing about it is the Bible says a just man falls 7 times and rises back up again. We fail when we stop fighting. And you know, there are so many dangers of comparing ourselves. The Bible warns us about comparing ourselves among ourselves. And that's sometimes where we can feel like a failure. And we see different people and we say, you know what? Well, that, you know, so-and-so, they look like they have it all together. And so-and-so, they just look like they have no worries and they have no, and the thing about it is a lot of times we can take and fall and be defeated before we ever go into the battle. But the thing about it is that regardless of where we are today, there is one thing that we all share in common. We will face our trials as we go through life. And these trials come and go, and either we can defeat them or they can defeat us. Every problem in life brings with it two possibilities. We will defeat it and enjoy a great victory, or it will defeat us and we'll experience sadness and discouragement. I want to give you some things from the Word of God on how we can know that we can defeat the trials that come our way. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you know, there are some great blessings in that passage. David won a great victory that day because of some things that he applied in his life, and God was able to do great things in David's life. And by the way, the God we serve is the same God that David served. The same God that guided that stone and took down a giant is the same God that can take down giants in our lives. See, the thing about it is all of us have trials. All of us have giants in our lives, so to speak. And the thing about it is before the triumph, there was a trial. Before David could stand tall in victory, stand on the body of Goliath and cut off his head, there was a trial. There was something that David had to face. He had to learn to be a giant killer. And so, this morning, for just a brief little bit, we're going to talk about how to face life's giants. How to face life's giants. You know, the thing about it is we've got to initially face the facts. You know, the thing about it is that as long as there's life, we're going to face giants. There's going to be giants in the way. If we're not facing a giant right now, later on down the path, there may be a giant. There may be a giant of a health problem. There may be a giant of a heartbreak in the family. There may be a giant of financial failure. There may be a giant of, it seems like all of our cars are breaking down at once and we can't keep one working at a time. And there may be a giant of weather. You know, some of the, I was talking with Brother Ritzler about the farmers and how a lot of this rain keeps some of the crops from being taken in. You know, the thing about it is each one of us has different trials. Each one of us has different giants in our lives that we can face. But the thing about it is you know what, if we apply the biblical principles to our lives, we too can be giant killers. You know, the only thing standing between Israel and certain victory was a giant. Can you imagine this big, ugly guy? And, you know, the thing about it is that actually it made Aaron look like a handsome fella. But the thing about it is, where is he? He disappeared on us. And I offended him already and he left. But anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down to it, you know, the thing about it is this big ugly guy, this giant was in the way of certain victory, between Israel and certain victory. You know, the thing about it is that giants were not a stranger to the children of Israel. Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. We see that giants, you know, Numbers chapter 13 and verses 23 through 33. And they came down to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence the branch of with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two among a staff. And they brought the two, they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and the place was called the brook of Eshcol because the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwelt in the land, and our cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people and sat the people before Moses and said, let us go once and possess it, for we are all able to overcome it. But the men that were with them said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought an evil report from the land. You know, the thing about it is we sing this song with the junior church people. 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. The thing about it is they faced giants before. And by the way, they didn't confront the giants, and the giants came around to face them again. See, the thing about it is you know, a lot of times people have the idea, well, you know what? If I can just skirt around this giant, and I can just not face it, well, you know, the thing about it is I can have the victory by not facing the giant. The problem is what we see here with the children of Israel is giants come around again. We've got to face our giant. We've got to take down our giant and conquer the giant, or else that giant comes down again. And Israel, all that kept them out of Canaan, the land that God had promised them, was some giants. And you know what's interesting is later on, the giants came back to haunt them. And, you know, think about it is we all face our giants. God never promised a paved, smooth way. You know, think about, look back in Job. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. The thing about it is our days are going to have trouble in our lives. I know that's not real encouraging. The encouragement is having victory over that. And Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verses verse 23, the Bible says this: "For all his days are sorrow, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity." You say that doesn't sound like a pretty picture. Well, the thing about it is each one of us have trials and troubles in our lives. The question is what do we do with those trials? What do we do with those giants? Because we've seen that if we just skirt the giant and try and not face that giant, they come back around again. The encouragement comes when we face the giant. You know, turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 16. The Bible says this: "And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Here's this ugly guy mocking Israel, mocking the God of Israel. And the thing about it is for 40 days, they tried to not face this giant. Can you imagine this? Here's this monstrosity of a guy, and I don't know why they allowed him to set the rules for the battle. I don't know why they didn't just all attack him and say, "Hey, listen, we fight on my rules." I don't know why they didn't do that. But the thing about it is here's this Philistine. He says, basically, if you conquer me, send somebody, and if that man conquer me, then you know what? We will serve you guys. But you know what? If I'm able to conquer that, your warrior, you are going to serve us. And the thing about it is they're shaking in their boots, and for 40 days they can't find anybody that is willing to fight this man. See, the thing about it is when it comes down to it, verse 31, "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he set before him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, art thou not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him? For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of the mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." See, the thing about it is we've got to face our giants in faith. David came here initially to bring cheese and bread to his brothers, and he saw the ruckus and decided he was going to join the fight. And the thing about it is we as Christians, we need to join the fight. A lot of times we're not going to have those giants if we don't join the fight, the cause for Christ. See, the thing about it is persecution comes when you're about ready to do something. Satan's not going to defeat you if there's nothing to defeat. Satan's not going to attack you if you're not doing anything for God. But the thing about it is when it comes down to it, David decided he was going to face the giant in faith. It wasn't a blind faith, it was based on several things. We see God's performance in the past. Here's the thing, David had a job to do when he was a lad. David had a job that he took seriously, and that was tending his father's sheep. See, the thing about it is when it comes down to service in the king's army, nothing is too minuscule when it comes down to service to the king. No behind-the-scenes task is too unimportant. And the thing about it is a lot of times God uses the behind-the-scenes work to prepare us for fighting our giants later on. See, the thing about it is if we take and we skirt our issues, just like we skirt the giant, we say, you know what? It's not important for that little work to be done. It's not important to set up for this, or it's not important to clean for that, or it's not important to fix that, or it's not important thing, or it's not important to pass out that flyer, or it's not important to put that tabletop on the table, or it's not important to post that poster. The thing about it is no work is too minuscule. It will help us later on in the past. See, and what it did was, in David's life, because David was faithful in that which is least, the Bible says that when it came down to it, David was able to face the giants that were before him because he was faithful in that which was least. Because David was faithful in fighting off the lion and the bear, you know what? He was able to, in faith, say, you know what? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? God was able to deliver a lion and a bear into my hands. He said, listen, you know what? I'll be honest with you. A lion and a bear are nothing. You know what? A lion and a bear to me would be a lot scarier than a man. When we were out in Montana, one of the sayings was don't mess with a bullfighter. If they fight a 500 or 600 or 800 pound bull, what are you? And the thing about it is that's kind of my philosophy on things. You know, if David can fight a lion and a bear, I've heard some stories about bears. And you know what? There's some mean hombres. And the thing about it is a lion isn't no tame house cat either. If you know what? If God can deliver a lion and a bear, who is this Philistine? See, the thing about it is too many times we take and we face those giants without past experiences with God. We haven't prayed and got answers to prayer with God. We haven't read our Bible and had the Bible come alive and God feed us through the Word, not just from the pulpit, but in our personal walk with God. See, the thing about it is David was able to come with confidence and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Let me tell you what God's done in my past. You know what? This guy is nothing compared to God. If God be for us, who can be against us? He was able to face his giant in faith based on God's performance and based on his power. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I didn't give you time to turn there, did I? But anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. David knew that for a fact. David knew that God would never fail him. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Just like God would never fail David, God would never fail us either. How much have we seen God working in our lives? Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go with before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither to be dismayed. David knew that where he lacked, God excelled. David knew that, you know what? This Philistine was nothing for God. David knew that God had power, God had might, and you know what? God's presence could take care of it. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, the Bible says this. Almost there myself. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, the Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, there's a similar verse in Hebrews chapter 13, and I'll read that. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God has promised all throughout Scriptures that, you know what? He will never leave us nor forsake us. But I'll be honest with you. Too many times we've left Him. Too many times we walked away from Him and faced our own giants alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible says this, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake, For when I am weak, then am I strong. Well, I tell you what, this is a tall order. Think about this for a minute. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Can you imagine being able to say this? I take pleasure in trials. I take pleasure at facing these giants. I'll be honest with you, that takes a whole lot of faith and a whole lot of experience in God in the past. When we come to the point and we say, you know what? Why would the writer of this verse say, I take pleasure in my infirmities? Why would he say, I take pleasure in all these things that are bad? Why? Because in the darkest of night is the backdrop for the brightest of sun, the Son of God. The Bible says God is able to deliver. God is able. You know, we sing the song in junior church. He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Why do we know that He's able? Because He will do in the future what He's done in the past. And He is faithful. And He is just, and He is capable, and He is powerful. And listen, when it comes down to it, God said He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us alone. The thing about it is He is as close as the mention of His name. You know what? We don't have to face those giants alone. We don't have to face the giants in our own might. God is able. God has always provided in the past. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verses 38 through 40. The Bible says, And Saul armored David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. But David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took a staff in his hand and chosen five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in the scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Here's the thing, is God had provided him with everything he needed. You know, I'll be honest with you, Saul looked at him and says, Son, you need some help. Let me give you my armor. Can you imagine? It'd be like trying to take Daniel here. He's 13. And anyways, we claim him into the family sometimes. And but anyways, it'd be like taking little Daniel and putting him a big full coat of armor on him that would fit me. And here he's sloshing around in it, and his sword's dragging on the ground. And you know, it was kind of that kind of a suit. But the thing about it is you know what? God had provided, even though it didn't make sense to Saul, God had provided everything to David that he needed. God provided a staff, God provided a sling, and you know what? God was preparing him with what God knew that he needed. See, the thing about it is sometimes we take and we do a spiritual inventory, so to speak, and we say, well, you know what? How can I face this giant? I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have this person, and I don't have... The thing about it is you know what? If we're walking with God, if we're yielding ourselves to God and saying, God, I want to be used by you. God, I want to do something for you. My life is yours to control. And we've walked with God, and we've done what we're supposed to do. The thing about it is God will equip us with everything we need. A lot of times it doesn't make sense, but imagine this, fighting with a pitcher and a trumpet. God's plans do not always make human sense. Just like it didn't make sense to Saul for David to go out there with a staff and a sling. But you know what? David had something more important than a staff and a sling. David had faith in an almighty God. And because of that, God was able to use that sling and that stone. You know what? It holds nothing on those guided missiles that they got today. You know, God guided that stone and hit that giant right where he needed to be hit. God has provision. He didn't know that sword, but he knew some stones. The Christian will do well to stick with the tried and true. You know, I'll be honest with you. So many times we want to fight with these new methods. I remember the song, "What's Wrong with the Old Black Book My Daddy Used to Read From? Is it so outdated by modern translations?" You know, the thing about it is, too many times we want to improve on God. We want to improve on what works. We want to improve on, you know, the thing about it is that the Bible talks about, we're not going to talk about this, but the Bible talks about how God protects and preserves His Word. And there's a curse involved with those that try and modify His Word. And but the thing about it is some people try and modify church. Well, let's bring the new bands into church, and let's bring the new philosophies and the new ways. And here's the thing is, there's nothing wrong with change as long as it continues with this book right here. Or change that says, you know what, I don't line up with this book perfectly, and so I'm going to make changes to try and be used more by God and try and align myself more with the Scriptures. God has provided everything we need. And so here's the thing is, we need to face them fearlessly. When we look at it, David ran into battle. David knew who was in charge. He knew his Creator. And the thing about it is because of his faith, he was able to run into battle, and God gave him the victory. Verse 48, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came near and drew nigh to meet David, David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. He faced them fervently." Never be afraid to face giants in your life. If they're there, they've been allowed by God, and you've been given everything you need to face them and defeat them. And as long as we trust in God and have faith in the one that can take care of those giants, God will give us the victory. Next is, and the last point is, we need to face them finally. Verses 49. "And David put his hand in his bag and took a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood on the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath." And the Bible says David cut off his head. You know, the thing about it is that David would have never had to face Goliath again. But what if he would have run away? What if he would have quit on God? What if he would have decided, you know what, this battle is not mine to face? Imagine the victory. Imagine how awesome that felt to know the Philistines were now the servants of the children of Israel. See, God has a great victory. With every giant that we face, God has a great victory planned. But if we never face that giant and we never face him in faith, that victory will never come. And that giant will keep on circling around and circling around. So we need to take that. See, Israel ran 40 years, but eventually they had to face their giants. The best posture for giant facing is on our knees. Why not bring your Goliath to Jesus right now? Face them, finish them, and forget them. And with the Lord's help, we can do just that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this lesson from David. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to face our giants. Heavenly Father, so many people are facing so much. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you can give us the victory. We thank you so much that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for the fact that Jesus said, "All power is given unto me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that we serve a God that is all-powerful, all-knowing, and loving so much that He would give His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to have the victory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.